Dedicada. According to John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I forget, there was one more thing I wanted to say, and that is someone who has been part of the Bible study. After the service, if you could speak with me a minute, I'd like some idea of how that was done so I can prepare, because I'm going to pick that up, maybe not this week, but certainly next, once we have that figured out. So friends, most days in our life are pretty much like other days, aren't they? We have the same task, especially now with the pandemic. We're not going as many places as we did before. So they're the routine tasks. Days pretty much follow another. But there are days that change the world. And we can just say words or phrases, say COVID, or say Sputnik, or 9/11, or Pearl Harbor, or 1776, or the Berlin Wall. And even if there are not specific dates that we have in mind, we know that those were things that changed our world, that had some effect on us and on the whole world around us. So how about October 31st? Well, yeah, Halloween. But that's not what I'm thinking of at the moment. In history, something more important. Important enough that on the church calendar we call it Reformation Day, and today then Reformation Sunday, October 31st. The great movement led by a man named Martin Luther centuries ago, back in 1517 in fact. And is that important? Well, just think of this. Over the centuries, how many things have been reformed? In government, church, in all kinds of other things, voting rights, civil rights. But there's only one that gets a capital R, Reformation. And any educated person, if you say the Reformation, they know what you're talking about. Very significant day. Not all Protestant Christians are Lutheran, of course. And Luther was not the only reformer, but a great many of the Protestant Christians in the world today can somehow trace their ancestry back to that man and that moment. Set in motion on October 31st, the eve of All Saints' Day. Still important, friends, because it reminds us, it reminds the church that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is what it's all about. Our relationship with God is based on Christ alone, on grace alone, and some other alones that we could recite. Faith and scripture. Luther's Reformation was about teaching the church to understand, to live, and to celebrate the gospel, the good news. So this day seems to me to be one of retelling, of reminding, of helping us remember what we already know. When young people are confirmed in Lutheran church, and similarly in many churches, or when individuals join a congregation, they're often asked something like this: do you intend to continue in this relationship? In this relationship with this community and with the Lord. And they express their readiness by asking God to help and guide them, as we have done in our confirmation or in our joining of the congregation. But here's the kicker. there is in us and in the world that reality that we've already talked about this morning called sin. And that has its hooks in us very deeply. And that means it will never be so simple as saying, oh yeah, I'll do that. Because we're going to keep running into that other problem. Our faith and our reliance on God always being challenged. So how is it possible for us to make a commitment? Well, the readings talk about that. First, we can make that commitment because God takes the lead. It is God's initiative. God plants the covenant in your hearts. That was that first reading today. A covenant is supposed to be a two-way street. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. But in this case, God says, I will plant the covenant. I'll plant that in their hearts. Totally God's initiative. And God says, folks, this deal of being a two-way street, that has never worked. It never worked. So from now on, here's the deal. I'm going to make a new covenant with you. I'll put my teaching within you, written on your hearts, and the knowledge of God will be a gift. That's pretty close to what we understand as the work of the Holy Spirit, as we learn it in the New Testament. And we make that commitment, secondly, because we recognize that faith given by God is a gift. It's a relationship that actually makes us want to follow. And we can think of all kind of human contacts and relationships where that's the case, where there is someone who just gets our attention and our confidence, and we put our faith there, and we are ready to follow. And that's the case here. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And continuing with the word means we trust the guidance, the continual guidance of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, Jesus promised in the Gospel of John that the Spirit would keep on guiding and teaching the church. That means we can't just keep on saying what people said in Luther's day or even in the time of Jesus or any other time, because the world changes and the questions change and the issues that come up are different than they were a century or 4 centuries or 20 centuries ago. And we need the Spirit's wisdom and guidance. And we need each other also have the Spirit's wisdom and guidance to work things out, to figure it out as we go. God gives the gift of faith and keeps guiding and nurturing the gift. But it's also true that continuing the word takes our initiative, our intention, that is, and our effort. It's not an automatic thing where we just sit back in an easy chair. It means that we take it on ourselves to devote ourselves to scripture, prayer, to worship, to careful thought. Those things take a lifetime. We are never done learning what it means to follow Jesus. Hear the word of God, share the Lord's Supper, come to worship. Those are the things that are the minimum. So there's no denying the dark side of our life. The fact that sin is ever present with us. But there's also no forgetting God's gift. God's gracious, marvelous gift, our redemption sealed with the death of Jesus. Part of our commitment then is to let that be known in word and deed. To say it and to live it. The world needs to know and the world needs to see it and to see it in us. Jesus says, the truth will make you free, and his hearers scoff. We are descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. Oh, just a minute. Can we call a timeout? What in the world? Have they forgotten the Roman soldiers that are out there in the street right now? Have they forgotten the Syrians? Have they forgotten the Babylonians? Have they forgotten the Assyrians? Throughout their history since the time of David, there have probably been more times of that they were subject to somebody else than times that they were actually free. But they're not talking about politics. They're speaking about their devotion to Jewish tradition as they understand it. And then Jesus points to the deep problem. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. There's the rub. And friends, we can look back at ourselves. We can look back at our own history for an example. Politically, our nation has never been subject to anyone, which is an appropriate sense of national pride. And to be sure, there have been many good things in our history. We have been brave when bravery was needed, generous when generosity was required, but we have also had a history with plenty of national wrongdoing. We could mention slavery, the treatment of Native Americans, misconduct in national offices and the courts and the world of business and finance. There are always those kind of things that we can point to. We have fought unjust wars. In short, we have never yet been who we say we are, a land with liberty and justice for all. And beyond all that, we're like Jesus' hearers, afflicted. We have the bondage of sin. Living in a burdened world, we commit ourselves to serve burdened people, as did our Lord. Needy people, rich people, poor people, young and old, citizen and immigrant, gay and straight, to serve them with the ministry of Jesus as our model. We serve because all of them are loved by God, and we serve them mostly because of who we are, not because of who they are. Our service is God's work. God's work, our hands. I bet you've heard that before. And we are called to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. It's a huge commitment, and it takes more than our own strength. The bondage and burdens of the world aren't conquered through any 12-step program or wishing more earnestly. We will never conquer sin, but the Son who makes us free is ready to forgive and to set us each day on that path again. The Reformation is about God doing what we could never do. That's Paul's argument in the second reading today. When I hear people quote Romans to justify judgment against others, I don't know whether to laugh or get mad. Paul's point is clear. No human being will be justified in God's sight by deeds prescribed by the law. We are all in the same leaky, sinking boat. And then the punchline, for there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You are free, my friends. A gift. Isn't that a beauty? And just look around you. Everybody here is in the same situation. And these people, can you believe they're out of jail too? So let's have fun. Let's sing and laugh. Let's get along with each other and do something good for someone else. Let us make bold promises. And if we've made them a long time ago, well, let's remember them and make them again in our hearts. Look what God has done for us. The Reformation says, of course we will mess it up. But let's give it our best shot. Because tomorrow is a new day of grace. And we, living in the love of God, are free to follow.